All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, happy to be talking to an individual with quite the big fight going down at Bellator 261. It is happening on June the 25th. We got a vacant world title up for grabs, the interim heavyweight hardware. We have Valentin Moldavsky and Timothy Johnson getting out there and testing skills and welcoming Timothy on the show for the first time. How's your day going so far there, man?
Yeah, it's going good. Can't complain.
Yeah, and I'd be remiss if I didn't just off the top wish you all the best on the recent wedding anniversary there. I understand it was the first one in the books there.
Yeah, that it was. So hopefully the only one.
Yeah, I get what you're saying for sure, man. But, I mean, this is an interesting kind of scenario for you in as far as that I had seen a few months back on MMA Junkie Radio. You sort of had pitched the idea of an interim title fight, but a bit of an anomalous thing in Bellator, largely. So how did you feel when the news kind of came your way that you were going to be getting that interim title crack there?
I kind of had my suspicions from insider trading that it was going to happen. So, I might have went tell a few details to MMA Junkie there when I was talking with him. But overall, no, I was happy with the decision. You know, I don't want to sit around collecting cobwebs for over a year. So yeah, I was happy that they made the decision and realized that, you know, with Ryan switching over doing the light heavyweight tournament, that kind of put a logjam on the division. So they had to do something, and you know, they made the right one.
Yeah, was there any point where there was a level of like frustration with that, or I guess even maybe on a lower level, just some level of uncertainty, just seeing how tied up Ryan Bader has been with the light heavyweight Grand Prix, or are you kind of just like, things will fall into place, see what happens sort of deal?
Initially, it was not maybe frustration. It was kind of blindsided a little bit. Because me and Ryan, you know, we were talking back and forth on social media. We made basically a gentleman's agreement that, hey, we'll fight in January, February. And then, you know, Bellator kind of got off to a late start. You know, they were getting their TV deal in place and whatnot. And then they made the announcement about the light heavyweight. So I was like, oh, well, now what? So I called my agent. I'm like, hey, what's this mean? You know, we were planning on fighting. And he got on. He's like, I'm gonna, you know, talking with Bellator right now. They're talking about doing an interim for you guys. And I'm like, all right. So it was a pretty big decision. Like, they kind of had a contingency plan set up pretty much right from the get-go.
Yeah, for sure, and just like solidifying you in the title eliminator kind of position. So it provides a level of clarity for sure, and I imagine the rankings are kind of, you know, part of that for sure. And as far as like creating some level of hierarchy in the weight classes, like how have you enjoyed Bellator's rankings rollout that they've integrated in the picture for the last few months?
No, I like it. You know, I've been on top of the rankings, so I think it's great.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And just, I mean, what a stretch you've had so far. I mean, just like the last few victories you've had. I mean, one of the more prolific stretches of your career, just the back-to-back stoppages of Terrell Fortune and Matt Mitrione. And then, you know, playing the hometown spoiler with Chet Congo there, avenging the loss at Bellator Paris. Like, how do you feel about the recent stretch you've been on? Is this like the most optimized, fully locked-in version of Timothy Johnson that we've seen? Because it seems like you're killing it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it has to do with, you know, the training partners and, you know, just the change of philosophies. You know, I've always kind of known with the guys I've sparred with over the years, I've always known that, you know, my talent levels is there. Sometimes, you know, my biggest roadblock is, you know, mentally. And I'm not alone in that aspect. A lot of fighters kind of probably have to deal with that. So, you know, boosts the confidence, makes you feel untouchable, and that, I think, has proven it.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering, like, what parts of your, I guess, mental game have improved whereby you were able to get to that next level there? Because that's a curious sort of thing you bring up there. Like, was there an epiphany moment where it kind of just all settled in, or was it, like, I guess, a gradual progression to, like, the mental game going up there?
Probably a gradual, not just like a light bulb that, you know, went off. I just think it takes time to make changes, and everyone wants instant results, especially nowadays. But, you know, it took some time when I moved out here to Vegas, changed camps, and, you know, it all finally started to come together.
I guess I just find that to be a curious thing, because it's like you're a guy who has the history with, you know, the military and stuff like that. I mean, I imagine there's going to be that locked-in kind of mental focus there. So I guess I was kind of curious as to, you know, what aspects you had changed there, because I imagine the mindset is pretty rock solid there.
Yeah, no, I mean, mindset of know, the competition, that's never then. It's just, I think everyone has self-doubts. And, you know, once I started training with, you know, top-level guys over and over again, sticking with them, and then maybe getting the better of them, it's like, oh, I don't know why I have any kind of doubt. Let's go do this.
Yeah, and it seems like part of that is just, like, shifting locations and everything like that. Like, it seems like Las Vegas has been great for you, just getting in the work at Extreme Couture and everything like that. I mean, just a myriad of, you know, great heavyweight sparring partners you can get and work with, it seems.
No, absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're working with the UFC heavyweight champion of the world. I mean, not necessarily in this current camp, but, you know, just in general, and also working with guys like Roy Nelson and just like a myriad of upcoming heavyweight prospects too. So it seems like you get a good mix of like the guys who are, you know, like the established savvy veterans can impart certain information like that with you, but then you also have that certain energy that the younger kind of rising prospects bring.
Yeah, no, there's a, I think, you know, after the first PFL series, you know, Ray got back here, and all of a sudden there's all these, I think there's probably two or three PFL heavyweights running around. And you know, a lot of them are the younger ones that are full of piss and vinegar. You're like, oh, man, calm down a little bit. You guys have too much energy. But no, absolutely. That was a good, it's a good mixture of from each end of the spectrum.
Yeah, and as far as your opponent up here, you know, great, you know, established individual and Valentin Moldovsky. I'm kind of wondering, like, are you, I guess, orienting your sparring partner selection to people who have, I guess, similar body types or stylistic proclivities, or is the preparation not curated in that kind of way?
You'd like to, but, you know, it's, you never know what someone's going to do in a fight, so you can replicate as much as you want. Doesn't mean it's going to turn out that way in the fight. So I like getting lots of different views and looks from different, you know, the variety of practice partners I have. Keeps you on edge, keeps you guessing. And, you know, I think that's the best way to go into a fight. Don't anticipate anything and you won't be surprised by nothing.
Yeah, because you get too fixated on a certain thing unfurling and then something different happens. I imagine that could throw one for a loop. But it seems like, based on some prior interviews I was checking out with you, it seems like the road work has been ramped up in this camp, and maybe even in the last couple camps, has there been more of a pronounced focus as of late to just weaponize pace and have that to be like a more prevalent part of your skill set? Not that I've ever seen you to be lacking in the cardio department, but is weaponizing pace a greater priority now?
Yeah, more or less. You prepare for the worst, hope for the best, that type of thing. I don't really want to fight 25 minutes, but I want to make sure that I have enough lungs for it. That's kind of was the term, you know, the reason why I ramped up the road work. You know, I'm not a natural runner by any means. You know, not only I'm 6'3" and big, but on top of that, I'm just like, I have really short legs for my size, so you know, it takes me a long way. It takes a lot for me to run, so I hate running. I wanted to make sure that I got plenty of it in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like the pandemic was a bit of an interesting kind of stretch for you. Like, it seemed like how long have you been doing the agriculture kind of work there? Because
my whole life.
You've been doing it concurrently, like along with your fighting all throughout? Like, it's always been like a fixture in what you've been doing? So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, no, I grew up on a hog farm. And a row crop farm, and kind of went to my first stint in college was for agronomy. So I was going to went to school for, you know, agricultural career. Then, you know, joined the military, then went different career, then went to school for a different degree, and then kind of got out of that and went back to, you know, what I initially went for. Actually, I love that job. And, you know, it's a career waiting for me after fighting. So the business, the co-op that I work for, they're, you know, super understanding. I didn't make it back for every season, but, you know, for fight camps or whatnot. But it's sitting there waiting for me, and it's something I love doing.
Yeah, and it seems like you're looking to get back to some military service there as well. So a lot of stuff on the go. You seem like a very busy guy, but I'm kind of wondering like how that works with the combat career. Like, is that something you'll have to maybe put on the back burner a bit, or can you facilitate like doing more Army service while also being a mixed martial arts fighter? I admittedly don't know how a lot of that works out, so I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, no, luckily, you know, I'm not an active duty soldier. I'm a Minnesota Army Guard. So when I rejoined here in November, I have a couple military schools I have to do to get kind of caught up with my rank, you know, putting myself through a couple more, you know, specially oriented schools I want to kind of go to later on. the next couple of years before I get too old to complete them. And so it's just your 1 weekend a month, your 2 weeks a year, 3 weeks a year, whatever, depending on what you got for training. And overall, that's just kind of like unit oriented. Luckily, my unit was pretty good. From March to April, I was up at Minneapolis for the Chauvin trial. So I was kind of there, not training, because it was on duty, essentially deployed to Minneapolis. And then the fight came around, like, hey, I got a fight coming up. They didn't have to do it, but my unit, they realized, I only work a couple times a year. So they're like, yeah, we'll get you out here early. So they got me out of there like 10 days early so I can get back here and start training.
Yeah, well, cool to hear you're able to do both concurrently there for sure. But I'd seen another interview where I believed you said your title was that of combat engineer, and the job description I thought was pretty funny. You said you get to blow stuff up. Can you kind of talk about that a bit? Because that sounds interesting.
Yeah, I know. Combat engineers are responsible for, all kinds of explosives, doing like cratering charges and shape charges, taking dead cord, wrapping them around trees, making a landing zone in a combat area. That's back in the day type stuff, like Vietnam type stuff. But yeah, no, we play with a lot of C4. I don't see TNT too much, too often. Every once in a while we will, but play with Play-Doh.
Yeah, you gotta love to, see that. It seems like you have a lot of things you're, passionate about, and that seems to also extend to the family dynamic there. I understand you have a very young daughter there. I think like certain times on MMA forums, people will almost like tongue in cheek talk about like, oh yeah, you're fighting dad version of Cerrone, or just different things like that, just like leveling up in the skill and everything like that. Like, have you noticed any kind of like compounded motivation with like the birth of your daughter and everything like that?
Yeah, I'd definitely say so. It was a little more of a motivating factor this last year too. I'm not just out here fighting for myself or anything like that. I'm fighting out here for her family, to provide for her family, and it puts shines a different light on things when you're trying to provide for your kids, as opposed to just going out there and fighting for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You love to see the perspective and everything like that. And it seems like you enjoy getting that kind of time with like the, women that are close to you. Like, I think I'd seen a makeup challenge photo you had a little bit back there, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. You'll love to see it.
No, absolutely. You're not wrong there.
But I mentioned just kind of off the top about the, Czech Congo, just getting the victory in the rematch kind of thing. I mean, we were just talking about how, it's good to be able to fight for other people in your family, people close to you, but was there a level of like personal redemption or like a special kind of satisfaction avenging a victory, or rather avenging a defeat like that, whereby you were stopped by Czech Congo a couple of years back? Like, how did that feel when you were out there? Was it just like any other win, or was there like a compounded redemptive element, I guess?
Kind of a middle finger to everyone. That was not... That first fight with him was really spooky, and I have nothing against Czech at all. He was good sportsmanship with me. We respected each other. So it wasn't like a vendetta against Czech. It was a vendetta against my performance, more so than anything. I can handle taking losses as long as I know that I put left everything in the cage. Like, I did everything I could do to win. That was not it. That was just a weird, spooky moment, and I wanted to go out there and prove that that's not what everyone perceives me as.
Was that the only loss of your career that fit that kind of dynamic for you, or are there maybe some others that fit that description too? Or did that one just kind of stand out?
Yeah, no, the one that I definitely wanted back, got asked this a couple weeks ago, a fight that I wanted to take back. I'm like, I would have never fought my junior Albin fight. I was so injured in that fight. I'm surprised that I even passed pre-fight medicals. And, that was just, young, fighting for a paycheck, not really thinking about the long-term thing. So that one still irks me that I fought that.
Yeah, well, hopefully that can be facilitated as like a rematch going forward and everything like that, just to give the opportunity to, run that one back and everything like that. But, I was talking a bit before about how you're out in Vegas now and stuff like that. Like, how much support do you get from the hometown still? Like, do you really have the galvanized resolve when you're out there and the people of Lamberton are, cheering you on and stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. The town support is immense. Every time my mom works at the school there, so she's got people, parents and kids always ask, hey, when's Tim's next fight? We got to catch it and all that. yeah, I can't say it enough. Pretty much everyone from the hometown that I can think of is they're rooting for me. It's not that hard to get everyone behind you when there's like 800 people there.
Is it like one of those things where like they play the fight at like the local bars to get people coming out for the watch parties kind of thing? Because I love those certain dynamics with particular fighters. Like, is that kind of the thing going on?
Yeah, that's pretty much the hometown bar. They usually throw the fights on TV if they get the channel, anyways. If not, a lot of people throw watch parties. Like I know my sister, they'll be out at their camping resort there on the lake, and they got a community center there, and everyone from the resort comes and watches the fight. Yeah, it's pretty, like you said, watch parties. So I know that quite a few people do that.
Yeah, you love to see it. I imagine it being on Showtime will help with the reach and the ability to get it for sure. But I mean, I'm curious, like when you're in the gym, like if there's particular, artists you train to or genres of music that you gravitate towards, or are you one of those kind of fighters where the tunes are kind of like, whatever, whoever grabs the aux cord, put on whatever, and I'm good with it.
Kind of one of the fighters that whatever's on. My genre, I have a wide spectrum of music I listen to, so it doesn't really matter.
It's more of like a pre and post practice kind of a thing when you bring the music in.
Yeah, I'd say so.
What are you jamming to and from? Like, are there genres you said you like have a pretty expansive kind of taste there. So does it just, is it predicated on whatever you're feeling that given day more so?
Yeah, more so. I'd probably say the ones I listen to the most probably like more 90s country or 90s, 80s hair rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't go wrong with either of those there, man. But you've been really great with your time, and it was fun having you on the show and everything like that. I want to be mindful of your time and the rest of your schedule, though. So is there anything you maybe want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping things up here, man?
No, just make sure you guys go follow me on Instagram, Twitter, at TBearTim. I was a little late to the game on that whole Instagram, or that whole social media thing, so everyone just go click that follow. And yeah, sponsorships, H9 Nutrition, Brew Biz Events, Texas Oil Group, and Brutus Brickhouse in Fargo. And yeah, Black Powder Fireworks in Fargo as well.
Great getting to talk to an individual vying for the interim Bellator Heavyweight Championship. People can check that out at Bellator 261, June 25th. Top in the marquee, Valentin Moldavsky versus Timothy Johnson. Thanks again for coming on the show, man. Just wanted to reiterate that, and just you enjoy the rest of your day, man.
Awesome. Appreciate it.